Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 41 of Proclaim, the podcast that teaches every Bible-believing Christian how to preach the gospel by any means necessary in many different settings, including using the internet and the what we call new podcast pulpit. If you are a Christian, you should be preaching the gospel and the word of God in some way, shape, form, or fashion, because Jesus Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." In the New Testament, the word preach simply means to herald or proclaim the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. The purpose of this podcast is to show you how you can get started or help you do it better for God's glory and for the salvation of lost souls. My name is Daniel White III. I am the president of Gospel Light Society International. I have been, by God's grace, a full-time evangelist for the past over 35 years, and I have preached the gospel across the United States and in many countries around the world, and we thank God for the souls that have been saved. This podcast is not necessarily for ordained pastors of churches. If you are a pastor of a church, or you plan on pastoring a church and you are looking to improve your preaching, I recommend to you that you listen to Pastor H.B. Charles Jr.'s On Preaching podcast. This podcast that you're listening to now is for the everyday Christian who wants to be obedient to God in proclaiming the gospel, the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture passage on preaching is Acts 9:19-21, which reads from the Word of God. Then was Saul certain days, with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. In other words, immediately Paul began to preach Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" Our quote for proclaiming the gospel today and preaching is from Francois Fenelon. He said, "I would have every minister of the gospel address his audience with the zeal of a friend, with the generous energy of a father, and with the exuberant affection of a mother." I like it. Beloved, in this podcast we are using as our texts the following three books, Lectures to My Students by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a book I read nearly 40 years ago with great joy. The Preacher and His Preaching by Alfred P. Gibbs, same. And Biblical Preaching, I read later, by Haddon W. Robinson. And before this book, Biblical Preaching, he had another book, I do believe it's by the same author. And as you may know, Haddon W. Robinson is in heaven with the Lord now. But he had another book titled Expository Preaching Without Notes. And I'm going to try to find that book. But that set my preaching free when I was a younger preacher and I began to preach without notes. For many years, because of the new podcast pulpit, I am very very careful to make sure we are absolutely precise in what we're saying. And of course, I leave the script, so you know, most times I leave the notes behind, as the Lord may lead me. But in this, and as I will share with you later, in this new internet age, you have to be brief. You have to be very precise. And so, but anyway, I read that book. I'll try to find that book and share some points with you. It set my preaching free. There's nothing on earth like being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and preaching the Word of God without any notes whatsoever. And anyway, those are the three books that we are using. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase any one of these books for your personal library from the resources page on our website at podcastpulpit.com. Today, our topic is titled Tools of the Trade, Part 14 from Biblical Preaching by Haddon W. Robinson. A series of different questions must be raised when trying to understand a story. A sampling of those questions might be the following. Who are the characters in the story, and why did the author include them? Do the characters contrast with one another? How do these characters develop as the story develops? What does the setting contribute to the story? What structure holds the story together and provides its unity? How do the individual episodes fit into the total framework? What conflicts develop and how are they resolved? Why did the writer bother telling the story? What ideas lie behind the story that may be implied but not stated? Can those ideas be stated through a subject and complement? Much of the Old Testament is poetic in form. In reading translations that print poetry as poetry and not as prose, we discover that poetry is the most used literary form in Old Testament literature. Even sections we ordinarily think of as prose, history, prophecy, wisdom, literature, contain large amounts of poetry. Poets do not usually tell stories, but instead express feelings and reflections about life. In Hebrew literature, poets communicate through parallelism that repeats contrasts or adds to the previous thoughts, and they use figurative language that may not be true to fact, but is true to feelings. Images and figures of speech give more life and force to speech because they join experience to fact. When farmers observe that the land needs rain, they are true to fact. But if they say that the earth thirsts for rain, they are true to both fact and feeling. Poets major in structures and language to add force and depth to what they are saying. Therefore, interpreting poetry raises its own set of questions. What meanings lie behind the images and figures of speech? What feelings does the poet express by the choice of language? What elements of form and structure does the poet use to discipline thought? What would be lost if the same truth were presented in prose? In whatever genre of literature you study, you will not only try to determine the writer's idea, but you will also want to discern how the idea is developed in the passage. Take your statement of the idea, subject joined to complement, and run it back over the passage. Can you explain how the parts fit your idea? The author may not develop a psalm in a logical order, but there may be a psychological relationship. Have you identified that? The storyteller tells the story, but if there are details in the narrative that don't seem to contribute to the story, ask yourself why. The Bible is great literature. It speaks to our minds and to our emotions. As great literature, it does not deal in unnecessary trivia. The authors want us to get and to feel what they are writing about. When they include details, they do so for a purpose. If you have uncovered the author's idea, then the different parts of the passage should illuminate it. It is often in the parts that we don't immediately understand that some of the best insights can be found. One device you may find helpful is to paraphrase the passage in your own words. Be exact in thought and carefully state the relationships you see within the text. Whether the biblical writer explicitly states them or not, as you write, you may have to alter the statement of your exegetical idea to fit the parts of the passage. Don't bend the passage to fit your statement of the idea. At this point, as a result of your study, you should be able to do two things. First, to state the idea of the passage in a single sentence that combines your subject and complement. And second, to state how the parts of the passage relate to the idea. This is sweaty, difficult work, but it has to be done for the benefit of the people. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to tell your story. Holy Father God, help us to tell your story, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your glory, your praise, and honor, based upon how your word is written. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, as we close today, I want to speak to those who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as those who have doubts about their salvation. Allow me to share with you very clearly how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be saved from hell fire forever and have a home in heaven with God forever. Here is how, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.